So we started last week talking about the dilemma of minhagim. We spoke about a minhag, the minhag of the Mishnah. A real minhag has a din that is binding on everyone who lives in that place, and who lives in there permanently has to accept the minhag. And when visiting the farhese, he has to keep the minhag. So the question that the Rosh Hashanah discuss is, what type of minhag are we talking about? What type of minhag is binding? Has that koach to be binding, if it's a real chiyuv, that you have to keep the minhag. So the truth is, even from the Mishnah, the first Mishnah of the Parak, it's really mashed, but we're not talking about all minhagim. The Mishnah is talking about a very specific minhag. It tells us about a minhag, not to work Erev Pesach, but that minhag, and makom that they have that minhag, you have to keep the minhag. But they're not saying every minhag that you have to keep a minhag. This specific minhag, Chazal approves of this minhag of not doing work Erev Pesach, and the Meila, there's a din, there's a halacha, they have to keep the minhag. In the Yerushalmi, it's even more of a favor that not all minhagim do you have to keep, even if it's the minhag ha-makom. Yerushalmi talks about a minhag that some women had in some places that they wouldn't do any halacha on Motzei Shabbos. The Yerushalmi says it's not a minhag. It doesn't have to be a minhag. If you live in such places, it's not binding. The Yerushalmi said if they have a minhag not to do malacha until the men come home from shul, until the men finish Maariv, so that's a minhag. And it has to be something that has a certain seichel to it. Being machmer until the men finish Maariv, so that's to make you. Making that you have a nikkur to sefer Shabbos. That's a good thing. It's a good maila. It's a good come Shabbos of adding on that much for sefer Shabbos. But to add on the esu malacha, that the homeless is Shabbos, not to do malacha, that's really overboard. And Chazal didn't endorse that minhag, and therefore that minhag is not binding. It also gives an example of places where people would fast every Monday and Thursday. That's exactly what the minhag was. It talks about that they would have a fast. That fast is not it's not a real minhag. It's not balanced, and therefore you're not bound to keep that minhag. In our Gemara, in the Bavli, so we also find a number of minhagim brought here that the Gemara says Chazal really be'etzem would be mevatel the minhag. The Gemara talks about the people in Chuzay. That they had a minhag that they would be mafresh chala even from orez, even from rice bread, they would be mafresh chala. Tells us about the people in Biri that they had a minhag that on Shabbos they wouldn't wear kurkadisa, they wouldn't wear this type of slipper because they were afraid that these slippers could fall off their foot on Shabbos. So they wouldn't wear those slippers on Shabbos. In Akko, they had a minhag, they wouldn't sit on the benches in the Gaisa marketplace on Shabbos. So the minhagim and the Gemara is clear that the Etzim Chazal were ready to say that those minhagim are mutter. The Gemara says even though the Etzim should have been matter those minhagim, they wouldn't matter them because they knew that the people who lived in those places weren't B'nai Torah. And since they weren't B'nai Torah, if we're matter the minhagim, they're going to think that other things are mutter. They're going to think, okay, these minhagim, these traditions that we have from our fathers, we don't have to keep them. So once you stop keeping your traditions, so they'll drop everything else, other traditions too. You know, like Shabbos, they'll just start dropping. So they weren't matter. But the etzem, they were ready to be matter then. The Gemara says in the Dharma, Daf Tesvav, that these minhagim that people have, even if they're not real minhagim, but any minhag that a person takes on that has any sort of positive value, something to keep a person away from an aveira, even a person's own personal minhag, and a person accepts, so it has a bit of a neder, and he has to do a taras nedarim. So there's something binding, even these minhagim, they aren't really good minhagim, you shouldn't be mad at them in front of amarasim, you shouldn't tell them that your minhag is foolish. Even if the person decides to change his minhag, he needs a taras nedarim. But it's not a real minhag. It's not the minhag that our mitzvah is talking about that is binding on everyone who lives in that kehillah. Now, it's an interesting thing. Tosafot points out, why is it that there's this difference between minhagim. Why is that? Some minhagim that you have to keep, and some minhagim that if at least if you're a Talmud Chacham, you don't have to worry about. Right? The minhagim mentions in the Gemara, they have some reason. The not wearing the slippers. So the Gemara says they didn't want to wear slippers because they were afraid they would come to carry Rosh Hashanah. Maybe the slipper would fall off their foot, and then carry the slipper. This sounds like a reasonable chashash. You understand the chashash. Chazal have similar chashashos. In the second Shabbos, he says, that if a shoe doesn't fit a person, or it's a ripped shoe, and we're afraid that the person might not be comfortable wearing the shoe, and he might come to take it off and carry it, so you're not allowed to wear such a shoe on Shabbos. It's just not so, it's not such an outlandish chashash. And the people in Akko, they wouldn't sit on the benches because they thought it looked like they were being hosted in business on Shabbos. So they're going to sit on those benches in the marketplace. People will think that they're going to be mechal on Shabbos. It doesn't sound crazy. It's not so outlandish. So let's Shabbos not a minute. So Tosa says that a minute can have a reason. It doesn't make it a minute. To make it a minute, a din minute, that there's a halacha that you have to follow the minute. And if you live in such a place, you have to accept the minhag amakum. It's dafka in what Tosus calls is a minhag chashav. Chashav a minhag that was started by Talmid HaChachamim and endorsed by Talmid HaChachamim. That real Talmid HaChachamim, the Gedolei Torah say, this is a minhag. This is a reasonable minhag, and therefore if you belong to that kahila, you should keep that minhag. That's a specific type of minhag. It's not every minhag. Not every minhag are you bound by. Those types of minhagim. So two levels in minhagim. A minhag chashiv that you have to keep, and a minhag she'eino chashiv that you don't have to keep. But if you want to stop doing the minhag, you could. You just have to wear a tzaras nedarim. You can't openly be matir to amaratzim because it might mislead them. It might teach them the wrong, give them the wrong idea. But the XM it doesn't have the koach of a minhag. Now, Tosis tells us there's a third level. There's an even weaker level, a weaker type of minhag. A minhag that you completely don't have to worry about. And that's what's a minhag tos. A minhag tos, or a negative minhag. A minhag that's not a good minhag, it's a bad minhag. So Tosis quotes an example of this. In Chulin Vavam and Beis. So the Gemara says there that in Beis Shan, they kept it a choice of Maisos. They assumed that they were considered part of Eretz Yisrael. When Remy came to Beis Shan, so he was matir Beis Shan, he says you're allowed to eat the food from there without taking shulchan maestros. And the Gemara tells us that the people in Beis Shan, they were very bothered. They said, this is minhag shemudah secha. Your forefathers, your the Messiah before you. Be careful about Beis Shan. Let me say you could eat here without shulchan maestros. And why are you being zealous in our minhag? My forefathers thought that, my elders thought that, but I'm right. This is not part of Eretz Yisrael. Makom hemikuli avosa l'skader bo, and this is Ivarum to Mechadish, and I'm telling you this is not part of Eretz Yisrael. So I said, you see there, that's something that's a toast. If it's just a toast, it's mutter. We don't worry about it. We don't even worry about toast that says in front of Amaratzim. Because it's not going to teach them not to be careful about halacha. We're telling them, no, you made a mistake. You made a halachic mistake. You thought something was asr, it's really mutter. We'll tell you it's mutter. It's not going to cause you to make other mistakes. It's not going to cause you to not be careful about other halachas. In this area, you made a mistake. But look in the shabur and see what you're doing. You don't have to be machmir like that. But everything else, you have to keep. So it's just a minhag tos, you just say straight out, it's mutter. The Yerushalmi says here, minhag tos, you don't need hatar sedarim. Yerushalmi says hatar sedarim is when you take on a chumra. Taking on a chumra is like a nadir. You're saying something that's really mutter, but I want to be more careful. I want to be stricter. So I'm going to take on a chumra. Take on a chumra, you need hatar sedarim. But if it's tam, you thought something was asr. You never meant to take anything on. You're not taking on more chumras. You just thought it was asr. You find out it's mutter, so fine. You don't have to. You don't need to touch the darm, and you could just immediately be mutter. The other minhag that's in this category that has no validity is a negative minute. If something's negative, you could immediately be makhmer. Right? The Gemara tells us in Mechusa that Rabbi Yosef, so he says you should eat their, take their truma, take their rice bread truma, challah, and eat it. Have a Yisrael eat it in front of them. There should be clear of them, this is not a minute. So this is a wrong minute. Why? Because there's a shash, something bad could come out of it. So something bad could come out of it is that they might end up being mafresh dough, rice dough, in order to patter from challah on the wheat dough. And since rice dough really has no sin of challah, so if you're mafresh that, you can be mafresh it on your rice dough, because that has no sin of challah. But you can't be mafresh something as patter on something as chayim. And therefore, you'll come out making kula that they'll be eating their wheat bread without having chal taken off. So since it's something negative, so the mamela we just get rid of the, just tell them they're wrong. Straight up, just tell them they're making a mistake. And finally, Shalom has a very interesting example. It tells us it was a chumrah. It sounds like a very nice chumrah. The fishermen in a certain place would take off on chol hamoed. They didn't want to work with a chol hamoed. They wanted to sit in Beisrael Shul Torah. And they took off from fishing. So it sounds like a beautiful, beautiful minhag. They're probably waiting for the Yashikayach, but Chazal or Ravat of the minhag. It's a bad minhag because there's not going to be fish for people for Kavir Yomtiv. Like Chol Moed, that's what's the malach, but that was just Kavir Yomtiv. Your redact was supposed to do. You're supposed to help people have Simchus Yomtiv. So the mail of them are Ravat of the minhag. Right, so there's three groups of minhag. You have to know every minhag, you have to evaluate what type of minhag it is. Is it a minhag chashiv, a real minhag with a chachma to it, that Chazal are telling us that this is a minhag you should accept? Is it a minhag that's unbalanced, unwise minhag, and you shouldn't tell Amarasim that you're being foolish, but the person himself should keep the minhag? Or is it a stam, a minhag tos, or a negative minhag that if you could do a vatal, you should do a vatal? It's just an important thing to know. I'll just tell you, people don't have this any clear. In minhagim, you know, I feel in among people aren't talking about chachamim, often minhag becomes more important than halacha. Everything is, you just look at the minhag. Whatever the minhag is, that's what we do. And you have to know. Minhag often is, you know, the more Torah person knows, the more they see different minhagim that really are incorrect. You ever thought about that? Oh, so what are you over if you violate a minhag? So, the son called Al Titush Torah Sumecha. We'll talk soon about exactly what that means. Seems the son of war with it, but it's not a real drabbanim. If it's your minhag that you're a makabel, so then you're over breaking a nether. Right? So that's the most formative thing it could be. So, but you gotta be careful, you know. I always think, like, if minhag is always, people just assume, minhag is always right, you know, it's always the link of Mara, they're always saying, oh, but the minhag isn't just right, let's go with the minhag. You know, minhag often, unfortunately, people don't know how to say, well, minhag often, the hamonams, often, custom takes on its own life and its own, by saying the minhag is over the Huzazara. There's so much that, you know, so much stuff out there. You have to know that a Talmud Chacham has to know. That a Latin can't be matter a minhag to them. Certain minhagim can't be matter because they won't understand. But Talmud Chacham expected to understand that there's Taiva. You know? I'm just looking at Main Street. And I haven't seen the sign. I don't know if you saw it. It says, Messiah is here. Can you see the sign? You saw the sign? What? A real little Babashi Rebbe, the Messiah is here. Like, how bad is all they thought? You know? Just even see how bad is all they thought. But it's just, there's real shtus. You know, you have to know there's real shtus and we have to be careful. It's hard to give examples of Bam and Hugger without being negative. I'll just tell you, one, this won't bother anyone, really, but like, in Mud City, there's one show, they started not saying Tachlin on Sunday. If you know which it is, don't say it. But it's a show, that's their minhag. it sounds like in a fight. Christian, there's no such mimic. So no, that's our mimic. There's no such mimic. It's not a mimic. I have no idea how it started or what, but a mimic that's a shtus, you're not supposed to be quiet. You know, there's a din, the same tachlis as a din. The Rambam breaks it down. It's a din. He says it's ke'im a din. When you leave the Beis HaMikdash, you have to be mishtacha there. It's a real din. You can't just, you know, this Rebbe's yard site. Someone, as a shul recently, this Rebbe's shul Salanter's yard site. I didn't say tachlis. The shul Salanter. I don't know, different things that people do, that they have the XM, or things that people do that are negative, and that it should be. Yeah? I'm not saying, no, you were understanding it. But just different things, you have to really, you have to see. Okay. Now, understand what's not a mimic. One of the things that's important for us, but something really is a mimic, you understand what it is. It's not stamma, you know, people do this. It's nice to follow your customs, you know, tradition. It's not about that. It's a real mimic you start Torah, but when it's a real mimic. When it's a real mimic, it means it's coming out of Torah. It's interesting. Rabbi Yochanan says you have to keep your minhag because it says I'll teach you Torah's gemach. Don't abandon the Torah of your mother. So I think we just had this Gemara. You hear that in a little bit, like, okay, keep what your mommy taught you. Be a good boy. You know, this is what your mommy did. This is what your papi did. It's not Kavanah of Yochanan. It's not because you look at Kitzim Levarchim, it's brought differently. If you look at Kitzim Levarchim, the Gemara's Darshan the Pasuk there, but it's telling you, we see the Stam of Shavicha, your father, St. Claus, or your father. Your father is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. What's the pasuk? Kalovu Avich, Hashem's our father. And it says the Eni Emo, when it talks about your mother, like when the Nevi'im talk about your mother, it's Eni Emo El Knesset Yisrael. Emo is Knesset Yisrael, Shenemer Shema Ben Emo Ser Avich Val Tito Shtora Simecha. Close this pasuk. For this pasuk, Shad is the pasuk that said Avich. Listen to the Moser Avich, that is Kodesh Baruch Hu, our father. That's real Torah, right? Torah, you know, always comes to the father. The father has to teach Torah. You see, actually, Veinu Avinu L'Sar Sechar, a father brings back to Torah. Torah is Ab, it's Chachma, rules across the board. Al Titush Torah Imecha, because Imecha is Knesset Yisrael. That Imecha is an Indian of Minhagim, and Torah. It's Torah Imecha, but it's Torah that comes from Yisrael, Mitzad Yisrael. So what does that mean? So, the idea is that the Torah of the Av is Torah that is strict. There's no two ways about it. It's across the board. These are the rules. The concept of Minhag, of Torah Simecha, is that the Klal Yisrael is Mechadish. That in a Chinami, that's Torah. Those are the rules. But we understand that in this area, we need things. We need more chumra here. We need something extra here. It's mitzad the am. The am saying that it's a Torah. Torah coming from Knesset Yisrael, coming from Klal Yisrael. They're seeing, you know, the Gemara says later in Pesach that the Klal Yisrael lav nevi'im hei b'nei nevi'im hei. A certain nevuah, the Klal Yisrael, a certain havana that they have. That this is the right thing to do for this place. This is the right thing to do. You know, the kind of a mother. You know, the father just lays down the rule. The mother understands that. Sometimes things are a little different. Women, you know, the Gemara says women have any sena, more bina. Bina is different than chachma. Chachma is the raw wisdom, the chachma. Chazal says nashalama, Torah shalama may rabba is called chachma. Straight. Bina is lashon bein, distinguishment. You know, to me chilukim. You have to understand. Okay, there's differences. The differences lashon bina leitim. You find it in yamim. That the people who know Bina Le'itim, they know distinguishment of times. They know to know at this time this is something right to do. Right? There's even sometimes Chazal say, Ace Lassel Sashan of Beirut Torah Sechah. There's an ace, there's sometimes extreme times when it's better to do something between Shemayim against Torah. So sort of like an understanding that, Eina Chinami, these are the basic rules, but sometimes in this place, something else is right. So it's a Torah. It's Minhag Yisrael Torah when it's a real Minhag Yisrael. It's Yisrael being makabel with the gedolim behind it, saying this is the proper Minhag. It really has a din of a certain level, a certain type of Torah. Why do you have to keep it? So it's not the rice, it's not the rabbanon, but it's this pasuk telling you to keep Torah Simcha. This is the right thing to do. It's Ratzon Hashem. It's interesting, maybe I'll just talk to the few words that I think are most far-reaching minhag that I find maybe the most troubling, but the most recoverable of all minhag, right? is the minhag that Gemara spoke about. One of the dinim here in minhag is the din of Yom Tov Shem Shel Goliyos. And the Gemara says in Beis Daf Dalet that even after, when they stop being Mekadosh Al Kiriyah and they establish a cheshvin, so they still sent out to the Gola his harav b'minagai seichim v'yudeichim. You should still keep 2 days of Yom Tov. So it's a very strange thing. It seems at least it's built out of a minhag. His harav b'minagai seichim v'yudeichim. A minhag. Some say even now it just has a din of minhag. But even times it's just a minhag. What's the minhag? It's a minhag you have to do, and the concept of the minhag is just a very interesting thing, because we look at the minhag and we're like, I'll keep telling you, this doesn't seem to make any sense, that we know when Yom Tov is. Yeah, it's true, there could be a malchus that will come and get rid of all the calendars, but even then it's funny, because we find that the chiluk is between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. Why is that the difference, Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz? Maybe in Eretz Yisrael they won't know what time Yom Tov is. Like, why do we have this? What sort of chiluk is this? It's an interesting thing what that is. Let's just talk for just a few minutes. That's called minhag. It's a minhag of your avos. Even though your avos did it, your avos didn't necessarily know why they were doing it. They started doing it because the attacker had a suffix. But we're seeing in that there's a real minhag there. So we mentioned, I think, that Rabbeinu Ezra, the Rebbe of Rabban, he's the Kabbalah Rebbe of Rabban in Spain. So he said that Avada, whatever reasons, you know, technical that reason to give for Yom Tov Sheni, is the Maisa of the Ikur is, it's because when you're a Galus, you need an extra day of Yom Tov. He says that there's no reason for the chiluk between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. You need an extra day of Yom Tov. Interesting, Yerushalmi in Erevin, Perek Gimel Halacha Tes, says that Klal Yisrael, because they didn't keep the Yom Tov properly in Eretz Yisrael, they were put into Golus, and they had to keep 2 days. And even though they keep 2 days, and they think since you keep 2 days, you get more schar, there's no, your 2 days only gets 1 day of schar. So, you find the Chassidus Yisrael, Sas Emes, Rav Sadduk, so they say, this is that you get 1 day of schar, because it takes 2 days to get 1 day. In Chutz La'aretz, we're not able, the kochos of the Yom Tov, we need 2 days. So the Tzaddik points this out, he says, this is the Inyan Shabbat Pei Zayin, right? Amazing Gemara. The Gemara says that on Shavuos is really supposed to be on the 6th of Sivan. But what happened? It ended up being on the 7th of Sivan. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe that V'skadashtem hayomu mocher, that today and tomorrow should be recognize yourself, and then the next day we have Kalas HaTayva. Moshe came down and told the people, he said, Hayu nechonim l'shoshes hayamim, you should prepare for 3 days. That Moshe saw that Hashem said 2 days, but Moshe, you know, these Gemaras that you couldn't even say them if not that the Gemara says it, Moshe was Moshe fiyom mechon midaito. He says, no, we need another day. We need another day to be ready for Kabbalah Shasayah. And therefore, Matan Tayro was on 7th of Sivan and the 51st day of the Omer. It's remarkable. So the Tzaddik says the Pshat is because that was Yom Tov Shem Shel Goliyos. He saw they needed that person of Yom Tov Shem Shel Goliyos, that you need that extra inyan. Bechlal, you find in Chazal that the whole inyan of Kiddush HaKodesh is only a koach in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam actually says, in Sefer Mitzvos, Mitzvot Kufnun and Gimel, he writes that there ever was a time that there were no Jews in Eretz Yisrael, Yom Tov would stop. You couldn't have Yom Tov. Because Einachem is a luach, but the luach is just is informative to the Jews in Eretz Yisrael of when they to make Yomtiv, and that gives the kedusha to the whole world. But the Iker kedusha is only created in Eretz Yisrael. Only in Eretz Yisrael, the Exim, does Klal Yisrael have that koach of being koveya time, and being koveya that there's one day. That Tesavav Nisan is one day, not 2 days. Right? After the moon, you would be clear which days are Yisrael. There's always a suffering which day it is. But out the beds, and that koch is a koch of Eretz Yisrael, shulchan of Eretz Yisrael, and the Rabbanon, that shulchan didn't go into Chassavayis. So there's some inyan of bringing up some of the Torah Si Mecha. There's something that, it's above Torah. These aren't Svaris that are going to go in Shach, and not those Svaris. But there's a certain Bina here, Bina in Mecha, that this is something that's right. So that's the way I would understand what Minig is. Minig is in and of its Ratzon Hashem. It's Rasul Hashem that's not coming straight from Torah, it's coming from the Avon of Kali Yisrael. So we'll just say a few words. Here's the Iker Minna we're talking about in these Daphne. The Mishnah talks like there is an Isser of Malach on Erev Pesach. So what's the reason for this Isser of Malach? Gemara says, Talia on Minhag, before Chatzos, after Chatzos, the Gemara says, Midin. There's an Isser of doing Malacha on Erev Pesach. So where does that come from? So the Yerushalmi here, something very interesting, has the drasha, and it says that whenever a person brings a karban, the next person is a Malacha. What's the concept in that? It's because they're supposed to be focused on their karban. And if you do, they're not bringing the karban, so I'm also taking care of the karban myself. Their karban is being brought, the karban is, Rabban tells us, is symbolic on themselves, being brought to the kirva, to the shparach, and they should be doing malacha, they should do things of kirva. And therefore you can't do malacha on Erev Pesach after Chatzos, because it's not the Pesach. Shalom is interesting, it says really every day of the year you should never be able to work, right? Which is definitely a makkah for sitting in coal and never working. That shouldn't work out. But Lamaisa, that's not the way the pasuk is the Satan, the Ganecha, Hanek, the Mugdarach Eretz, and a person, the Dafka should work, you should have a Parnasa. But it's a chiddush, because really every day there's a carbon talmud being brought, and that carbon talmud is being brought for each one of us. It's not that there's a carbon talmud. And in Mela, the Etzem is telling that you shouldn't be working. It's interesting, the Torah Evan wants to claim that that's Pshat in Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh, so we know we're allowed to work in Rosh Chodesh, but it's funny, the Gemara says in Megillah Chafiz, the Gemara says in Rosh Chodesh there's four aliyahs, just like on Chol HaMoed. Weekdays, Mondays and Thursdays, there's only three aliyahs. But on Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, there's four aliyahs. And the Gemara says because it's a time that people aren't working. So Chol HaMoed, you understand people aren't working. But Rosh Chodesh, why aren't people working? So Turi Evan, he writes, he brings a mucker from Sefer Shmuel, that it sounds like they weren't working on Rosh Chodesh. Because the Pshat is, that ain't Chinami, the Talmud being brought, so you have to work, because it's after the Ganecha, so sometimes you have to work. But Rosh Chodesh is a Musaf being brought. So he says, it's not a Mikdash, people taka were known not to work on Rosh Chodesh. Fine. So the problem is, the big problem is this man has that. This man has that, there's no carbon Pesach. So why is it that it seems that it's asur to work? Doesn't Allah is you're not allowed to do work on work, meaning work that's taking a lot of time. Not an Isra Malacha, but rather Rishon say means working as part of your parnasa, something that's going to be very distracting. Type of work that keeps you busy, and that's supposed to be after Chatzos. So what? Why taka is that? The Baal Mor taka says lachar it shouldn't be. He thinks it's only mutter. It's only with Svan Hamikdash. The Meis of the Mishnah sounds like this is in all its manner. We assume that in Shulchan Aruch this is what that even Svan is that. So why is it that you can't do Malacha? So one possibility is interesting is that. If you look at Hilchos Avelos in Shin Sadi text, it's brought in Tashbeit, that just like in Tovim push off Avelos, For instance, this is our Velus, but it's not known as a Velus on Yom Tovim. So too on Erev Pesach. A person who's in Shiva, on Erev Pesach after Chatzos, he gets up from Avelus. So the Shaila says, why is that? The Sos is very bothered. He says, why is that? Why would that be? We understand on Yom Tovim, so that's okay. It's a real din. I saved the rabbin, the Gemara says. That's a mitzvah given to all Klal Yisrael. It's docha, the mitzvah given to an Avel. An Avel is just a yachid. But Erev Pesach, not doing. Why should that stop Avelus? We don't see a din of Simcha on Erev Pesach. So says the Gra. He says, the Gra says, the pshat is that Erev Pesach after Chatzos has a din of a moed. Points out in Emor starts with the words Eil Moed Hashem. Emor, the parsha Moedim, says Eil Moed Hashem. We find a Shluah staff Yud that this lashon of grouping all the Moedim together as Moed Hashem tells us there's a hekesh between all the Moedim, and therefore the Gros points out, if you look at the parsha of Moedim, in addition to all the Moedim mentioned, so it also says, the Yom Arba Asr, Pesach Hashem. It says, an Arba Asr is a Pesach Hashem that you should bring a Karan Pesach. So it's talking about Erev Pesach after Chatzos, and it's mentioning that in what, as one of the Moedei Hashem. So it says the Gra, it's not called Mikra Kodesh, it's not a Yomtiv, but it's brought as one of the Moedei Hashem, and therefore it has the power to push off Avelus. So that could be the idea. The Erech Inam is no carbon Pesach now, the soul of the day is the fact that it's Pesach Hashem, it's the time of the carbon Pesach, but the mice it's mentioned in the Parsha of Samoedim, so it has a certain Kedusha. Certain influence, man. Yeah. Right. The same way that Erev Pesach is a little bit of a yomtiv, with Indian, that it has a little bit of a din of simcha, and therefore pushes off Avelus. So in the same way, it's a little bit of a yomtiv, but it's not a proper time to be doing your work. Now the last mahalach to say here is what Rashi says in the Mishnah. It's a little bit strange. Rashi says, you don't do malacha on Erev Pesach because it's small shchitas Pesach. And he says it's the time for beer chametz, and it's the time for baking matzos. So it's interesting, what's he saying there? He doesn't just say Shkitas Pesach. So he doesn't just say Shkitas Pesach, he's trying to explain the reasoning of those who have a minhag even before chatzos. Before chatzos, you don't bring Karban Pesach, but it is the time of beer chametz. So therefore that's something you're busy with. And he also mentions baking matzos. Baking matzahs, he's mentioning with chora because he wants to tell you that even if Bizman has zeh, we know the Karan Pesach, but we still have the din, we have to bake matzos after chatzos, and therefore we don't do malacha at that time. So the first thing just to mention is that when he's talking about baking matzahs, right? We don't bake matzahs in Erev Pesach. It was a frying, yeah, you bake matzahs in Erev Pesach. The emes is Rashi writes to say for parties that you're supposed to bake matzos after chatzos and Erev Pesach. And there are Gaonim and Rishonim who say this. The Mordechai says it is a hekesh of Pesach to Matzah. And just like Pesach is after Chatzos, so too Matzah has to be baked after Chatzos. The Torah brings b'shem the Gaonim, but there were Gaonim who felt you're not yotzei with the Matzah that wasn't baked after Chatzos. A little bit wild. Definitely Shulchan Aruch is not what we go with, but there is such a minhag, and the concept being that is the proper time for preparing for Pesach. So Rashi took that and said that's why even before I say it was no Pesach, but after Chatzos is the time for preparing for Pesach. It's interesting. Rav Chalav is bothered. He says, where's Rashi making this go along? Isn't there Yerushalmi? Isn't there a better mucker, a real mucker, that the Karav Pesach is the time that answers Malacha because of the Karav? Where's Rashi coming from? Is it just a new reason for after the Korban that you're busy with Mitzvahs, you should do Malacha? So the Rav Chalav says something that's interesting. He says that it's a Giri Milcha. In a Chinam, the real Makar is because it's Ma'at Pesach Hashem, it's the Shas Korban. But that's just a Giri Milcha, that this time is special, because this time is a time for preparing for Pesach. Like the ultimate preparing for Pesach, it's called Chag HaMatzos, is this man of Pesach Lashem. Right, in the Torah, Pesach refers to Erev Pesach, and Pesach itself is refers to Tzchak HaMatzos. So Pesach Lashem is to bring Korban Pesach. If you don't bring the Korban Pesach and Erev Pesach, you're not going to have a Pesach to eat on the night of the Seder. But Bechlal, if the Gilui Musa Bechlal, that's the time to prepare for a Matzah for the Seder. He says that's the time to prepare your Mara for the Seder and to get the whole Seder ready. So that's the idea. The idea of the Reisa that makes it that it's asked to work on Erev Pesach. So one last of you here. There's a really big sugi here. So we're finishing, we're claiming at least that we finished Thirumim and Gimel. So Thirumim Gimel Aleph, Thirumim and Gimel is a lot about Shvius, which is a very big and beautiful sugi. So we're kind of left, and we're going to talk about one inin that I think is perhaps a chassar, the most nugeya inin halacha l'maisa that comes out of these dachim. Is the inin of peros of Shvius that go to chutzlars. That the din is usher to take peros from Eretz Yisrael to chutzlars. Last year, if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you bought food of Shemitah, you can't take it to chutzlars. If you bring it, if it's brought to chutzlars, some exports fruits, the din, are you allowed to eat those fruits? What's the halacha of those fruits? And also the question is a big question, at least for us in Chutzlar, it's a big question of Shemitah, is in the Esrogim. What's the thing? Can I damn Esrog from Eretz Yisrael? Can I use an Esrog of Shemitah on Shemitah year? This is a big question this past Sukkot. So, so one of the sugya that I'm just doing the very nogeiros in Yanin. The basic iser, the basic din is that of course you don't plant things on Shvius, but everything that grows on Shvius, if you have trees, so trees still produce fruit on Shvius, so those fruits you're allowed to eat, it's good to eat, but the fruit of Shvius, as the Torah says, is left for everyone to eat collectively. You have to be machpir and leave it for everyone to eat collectively, for you and all the poor people, the rich people, everyone together with your animals and the wild animals, and everyone together eats these peyros. So the Mishnah says in Shvius and Perek Vav that it's aser to take peyros of Shvius out of Eretz Yisrael. It's aser. No one will call me. It's aser to take peyros out. It's learnt in the Toras Kohanim, the Pasuk. Pasuk says that the peyros of Shvius are for you, and you are avadim. It says ulu behemtecha, your animals will chaya shebartzecha. The chayos, the wild animals in your land, tia kotz lotzel lechel, all the fruit is for them to eat. So says the Toras Kohanim, asher artzecha, it's for everyone in your land. Masher artzecha ochel, that which is in your land to eat. Below masher ahosi, not that which goes out of the land. It's just for in the land. Right. So see from here, you can't remove it out of the land because then you'll be mevatel its mitzvah machila. And also it's telling you, you can only eat that which is in your land, you can eat, but not that which is out of your land. So the Rambam says, the Brush is there in Torah's Kohanim, we see from here, there are peros of Shemitah that are taken as a chutzlar, they're asur b'achidah. And we saw a really related drush in our Gemara talks about, also of course, this pasuk, and the Gemara Anun Beis. It tells them, asur, you're only allowed to eat peros shvias, kol z'man, that they're around, they're freely available to everyone. Right? If you eat apples, an apple from the Shemitah year, right? Last year was Shemitah, the apples got ripe, you know, this past September, and those apples you could eat, even though they're from the Shemitah year, but sometime this year, the apples in Eretz Yisrael from the Shemitah year were all harvested, or otherwise eaten or got rotten. And at that point, even if you have apples in your house, even if you have apple juice in your freezer, from the Shemitah year, you can't drink that, you can't keep that apple juice. You have to get rid of that, be mocking that apple juice. You can't keep it for yourself. So that's the din of beer, peyros shvius. And the argument says that the day is, Parashuris are given to you and to all the wild animals in your land. All this amount of the chayos, the squirrels and the pigeons and all those animals are able to eat the fruit, it's free, so then you can eat it. It's not in the field anymore, so the chayos call it the hemtachim on the bayis. You have to get rid of what you had in your house. Shadows, you can eat meat, the fruit, but it has to be dafka together that it's free. It's available to everyone. You can't keep it in your house when it's no longer available. And that's sort of the basis of the din. We don't have so much time to talk about it, but the din of the Mishnah says, you go in makom le makom. If you, let's say, start at Sfas, and you have apples and Sfas, they get, let's say, there's a lot of apple trees in Sfas, and they only get ripe later in the season. So you have apples in Sfas, you go to Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim, they already finished, there's no more apple trees left in Yerushalayim. No more apples left in Yerushalayim. So the Mela, since you're in a place that the apples are gone, there's no more apples of Shemitah available for the Chayas, so the Mela, even you who brought those apples from Tzas, so you have to get rid of your apples. You have to move out of the apples. So that's the concept. The concept being is that you can eat Shemitah as fruit, as hefker. Right, we drink water. Water is hefker, it's free to everyone. We're drinking free. But once it's not available anymore, or if you're in a place where the Shemitah fruit is not available, it's not available for every chai, it's not outside of the street, so the mela is no longer hefker, it becomes a commodity. If you keep it in your house, it's one of your assets. It becomes part of your property. It's not just a hefker, it's a thing, and it's real bias, it's a thing, you're an owner. And the mela, you can't eat Shemitah fruit. Shemitah fruit can't be part of your property in that way. So Mela becomes pasha from this all is the issue of taking it out of the chutzlar. If you take it out of the chutzlar, there's no Shemitah in chutzlar. So if you have a Jaffa orange from this year's produce, you buy some orange juice, Israeli orange juice, and you have it in America, so there's no Shemitah here. Right, as though you have to pay for orange juice here. So the Mela, that orange juice becomes aser to drink. And you can't take it out of Eretz Yisrael because it's given to eat in Eretz Yisrael. That's something that we also have here. The Gemara says you can't be maxi perish. You can't cut down a tree that has Shemitah fruit on it because the Pasuk says the Achla Amarech, but the whole absent. Shemitah is given to you to eat, but you can't be maxi achilo perish. So Mela, you can't take Shemitah fruit out of Eretz Yisrael. Right, so that's mentioned here. It says here, "Braisa the peir sheyosim Eretz Yisrael lechutzlars misparu b'kol makom shehein." Fruit that went out from Eretz Yisrael to chutzlars, so you have to move by them, get rid of them wherever they are. The Gemara tells us in Beis Arasatza that he tapped went out to chutzlars and he discovered that he had this wine with him, wine of Shemitah fruit. And he didn't know what to do. He said he would like to just devour it right here, just, you know, pour it all out. He says, but he was bothered of Shimon ben Elazar. There was an opinion of Shimon ben Elazar that says that that's not enough. If you have Perush Shvius and Chutzlar, you have a chiyuv to travel back to Eretz Yisrael, get back on the plane, go back to Eretz Yisrael, or send it back, but send it back to Eretz Yisrael. You have to devour in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara comes out, no, we're not so sure of Shem ben Elazar, and the Mela just destroy the fruit wherever it is. So that's the real sugya. That's the sugya, the Chazal part of the sugya here. The issue is, and this is a bit of a problem, it used to be very hard to get a srogim, good srogim that weren't murkav, and people wanted from Eretz Yisrael, and people got them from Eretz Yisrael, and there's always a business going on of shipping. And even this year, I'm sure you probably saw people who had a srogim from Eretz Yisrael. This is always going on. The question was like how to try to find some heter for this. It's not so question. The truth is, it used to be that first of all the internet struggle and had a struggle. The other point is, it used to be that the stroke fields were owned by Gaim, and therefore the only truth was you can talk about that it's owned by Gaim. Maybe Gaisha produce isn't the din Shemitah. Maybe the guy is the one, since the guy is the one exporting it, and him is the Esir because he's that Muslim and Shia, so different entertainment. Why it still goes out today is a much bigger enigma. You know, it's also in Lamed Hei, Sukkah Lamed Hei, it says he's done of Lechem, the Arba Minim, and therefore the Gemara says that Esrog has to be Roy Lachila. If not, it's not considered Lechem. And therefore, an Esrog of Tevel or an Esrog of Arla, that you're not allowed to eat, so you're not yield to the mitzvah of Arba Minim like that. So therefore, if this Esrog Tak is Aser, it's Aser to eat, so the Mela, at least the Sheet's Haraydin is the ritual of the Pharaoh, and he also has Aser to eat. The male shouldn't be yotzei the mitzvah with their bachlal. So there's a lot written trying to get out of this esser. Since we're over time and none of the team are really terribly good, so I'll just tell you maybe the special truck and there's really no like really clear heter. The best known heter is Tzitz HaKodesh, lives in the 1800s. He said a heter. We'll go through it so much. You've never had such a salad after. He said, name a srogma different than other parashvias. Because the srogma really going for the mitzvah. Most parashvias, apples, so okay, you start shipping out apples. The apples should be there for people in Eretz Yisrael. They don't have food on Shemitah. They should at least have apples. Don't ship them to out to Chutz La'aretz. He says, a srogim? No one's eating a srogim anyway. Right, they're taking a srogim and you're sending them out and doing mitzvahs with them. It's a good thing to do mitzvahs. What could be better? He says maybe he himself doesn't come out so clearly what happened. He says to make things better, he says send them back to Eretz Yisrael. Send them back to Eretz Yisrael, and he says send them back before the beer. He says Rav Safra, so he was fired up in the Como because it was very passive about time of the beer. But he sent it back to Eretz Yisrael and. As a straw, anyone who wants could make it into esrog jellies. He says, "Now, that'll take off the esrog." Okay, if it's not a very not kosher done any, you know, just to say, you know, even that you find a shemitah that's an esrog of closing, locking the fence of your field, even for a day, a farmer's not allowed to put a lock on his field in shemitah because it's public. You can't take it away. You can't. Right? Even if eventually you're going to give it back, you know, the last day of Shemitah, you'll say to everyone, okay, here, you can have it. Right? But you can't take it away from Eretz Yisrael. And it's not, most people don't eat Esrog, but halachically, there's no question if the Pharaoh that Esrog is in the din of Shemitah. It's talked about maybe this is not considered that you can't eat it, because you really could eat it. If you bring it back to Eretz Yisrael, you'll be able to eat it. You can't even cook flowers. So things said, the emesis is nothing's pasha. Has this sense of health and shvius, should send cook flowers. The pasha from Chazal is you can't send pears to cook flowers. And if you do the rest of the achila, and if it's not the achila, you can't be, you'll say, Aramino. So even though the minik is, many have more like that, that's definitely the most pasha.